I think there's been a lot happen both in the understanding of the brain. In 1996, we were told it was not possible for the brain to make new connections. But about around 2000, one of the doctors came back from an overseas conference and talked about neuroplasticity, that the brain does have a plasticity and can make new connections given the right environment and support. And that's since then we've seen the explosion in neuroscience generally, really. So for us, that was huge, that because, yeah, everybody said Chris couldn't possibly be there. So that's been a huge thing. And a doctor said to me recently that the brain is the new frontier of medical science. For us, that has been very significant because what we were seeing and understanding with Chris has been given a credible sort of underpinning, really.
Because you never gave up hope that he could hear you and that he could understand
but
you.
He was giving us signs that laughing when he woke up from coma was completely appropriate. His cousin had told a funny story in his room and Chris laughed. And it was almost like somebody coming back from the dead, as it were, you know. Such was the shock. But then he was responding appropriately, not all the time. But, you know, you'd read him something, you know, that tickled his fancy, or his face is quite expressive. So he couldn't do that all the time. If he was unwell or anything, he'd lose sort of that ability to break through.
Mary, one of the other things that you've been fighting for is a place for these young people with acquired brain injuries to be housed rather than in an aged care nursing home.
Yes, and that's had taken a rather peculiar twist, really, because one of the achievements, I think, has been an agreement, Commonwealth and State, around young people in nursing homes, a 5-year agreement which finishes in June this year. Now, that has meant a lot of young people who are in nursing homes have got into supported housing. So they've got out into houses, and for many of those people, that's been fantastic. But it still hasn't really addressed the Chris and others like him group. There has been a 10-person place set up that was really instigated by us, but we've made the decision that Chris won't go there because the model of care isn't up to what he's presently got, and I won't go into all the details, but he'd be much worse off. So Chris will be staying in the nursing home where he is for the foreseeable future with the package of funding he's got, which gets him to the farm and gets him other things.
Mm.
So what we're now looking at is a possible unit attached to or within a nursing home, because a good nursing home, and there are good nursing homes, they get a bad press, but there are good nursing homes, have the skill level that we need for this group.
And we're also talking about really skilled and targeted rehabilitation.
Absolutely, because Chris is still making gains at almost 15 years post-injury. He won the footy tipping the last 2 years at the nursing home by blinking his eye and is so stoked. He's still so competitive. He's now eating a meal at lunchtime. He's got movement in a thumb, which we're hoping it's another marathon to get it moving, you know, accurately. But he's very chuffed about that.
Although it's at a different level, do you think that this AM will be for you like the Australian of the Year award was to Patrick McGorry, a platform for you to get your voice more widely heard and recognised?
I hope so, because we've still got a long way to go. I hope that it will raise a consciousness for the young people with brain injury and for their families and friends and all who work with them. You know, it can be very confronting. Somebody who is absolutely full of life and suddenly is unable to speak, often unable to move, and in Chris's case, unable to see. And I hope that it will raise that consciousness and therefore hopefully get action for this group, because, you know, friends drop off. Most young people with AB are very isolated, and that's possibly the worst thing. Where Chris is very fortunate, we've fostered and he's still got very good friends.
And Mary, you've obviously been through a really challenging, difficult and in many parts rewarding journey. What does it mean for you to be honoured in this year's Australia Day Awards?
Oh gosh, it's a little bit overwhelming really. I mean, I never dreamed of this and I think I'm still really sort of trying to come to terms with it because it's really big. But it's for me, but also it's for all who've journeyed with us, these young people with ABI, their families and friends, and all who've been part of the journey with us. Because I probably have been a driver and a leader in some sense, but couldn't have got to this without a lot of other people. I think I've been reflecting back over the 14 years, and it's been hard, yes, it's been rewarding, but I think I've been privileged to experience the power of the human spirit. And that's what I see in Chris, and I see in the people who care for him and know him really well. You know, that's been a privilege, I suppose.